Welcome on and all once again to Dual World in episode 69.
69.
Insert funny commentary here.
The Ted can't do it for us.
That's what she said. But we are just a few weeks away from E3, and like we said, last week we started off with, you know, our general third-party predictions and stuff like that. In the course of the week, we had some announcements and stuff like that that would have changed the complexion of the discussion. But we'll get to that in the news. Joining us this week, we have Jason.
Hello.
We have Daniel.
What up?
And we have Martin.
Praise the Dark Lord.
Which one?
Me. Me.
Okay, I guess that's the Dark Lord. But yes, as you can tell, Martin's excited for Diablo 3. I think this is the reason he's doing the podcast this week, is he'll have an hour and a half to kill where he doesn't have to think about waiting for it. Alright, just a real quick question. Like, I know like PC games do like the whole midnight launch and stuff on Akin, but is that a certain time zone?
Valve does it normally in GMT. So we now we'd have to wait until 1 AM our time. Normally it's midnight, otherwise.
Okay. Blizzard does it by time zone.
It obviously varies. Yeah, Blizzard does it by time zone.
So normally a Valve game I would be able to play.
No, by Valve I mean anything that is exclusive to Steam.
Oh, okay. So normally they would do it, I would get to play like 8 hours early, basically.
You would be eight hours late because we're 8 hours ahead of you.
Well, he means like he'll get to play like the Monday at like 4 PM.
Yeah.
Most to like midnight his time, which is why I was asking, because I didn't know if like Martin had to wait until it hit like midnight here, and then no. It's like 6 hours of him like, come on East Coast.
It will be at midnight my time, and it will also be available midnight your time. So they do it by time zone, and they just block IPs from the different regions.
That kind of makes sense, honestly.
And, I mean, on the subject real quickie, and I just noticed this because I apparently don't visit my own site that often. We actually have a Diablo 3 theme up now, so pretty scary. But I'm sure we'll have more on Diablo 3 next weekend. And if you're anything like Chad with StarCraft 2, the weekend after that, and the weekend after that, and the weekend after that. But for now, what have you folks been saying this week? If anything.
Again, nothing on Paul.
It happens. I mean, the only game I've been saying this week was Sin and Punishment, which I got because Best Buy had it for $5. And $5 gets you a hell of a... I got Alpha Protocol, I think, when Best Buy had it for $10. And that turned out to be one of my hidden gems of the generation. I got Pilot Wings and Steel Diver for $5 as well. So Best Buy has... I mean, it sucks with Best Buy because I know part of it is because they're broke. So they're just trying to get people to buy stuff from them. But I love their daily deals where they have such awesome discounts. Just quickly, because I only paid like two stages of it. Sin and Punishment 2... I think it's Star Successes or Successes to the Stars or something like that. It's an ugly game. I mean, even for a Wii title, it's kind of ugly. And it's a ton of fun to play. I enjoy rail shooters, and this one's a lot more action-oriented, and there's just a ton of stuff on screen at once. But it's an ugly game. It's fun to play with the Wiimote and stuff. But based on playing this, I played the N64 one when it came to the virtual console. I'm playing this one. I think if Nintendo decides to pursue Sin and Punishment, I think it's probably best if it's one of their premier, eShop titles. It makes a lot more sense than doing their, I think this game came out for $50 and it just isn't worth it at that point.
Yeah.
But if you release it as a downloadable title for, you know, $15, I could, you know, it would do well. And I think Nintendo kind of need those titles that get people interested in actually checking out their eShop, and it has a brand to it. Because people are always interested in Punishment, and the first one sold well enough on the virtual console, which is why they made the second one. But yeah. What about you, Jason? Have you been playing anything new?
Well, I finished Captain America. That was pretty good. I mean, everything I said last week stands. It's like really solid gameplay-wise, really, you know, riffs off the Arkham games and in a Captain America style, and then just has, like, you know, obvious, like, budget limitations and stuff. And all things considered, I really enjoyed it. And then I just played, I don't know, like 10, 15 minutes of Company of Heroes last night because it's on sale for $2 on Steam this weekend.
Nothing.
Pretty good. Like, I've been hearing the praise from this game for a long time, but, like, until last year, never had a gaming PC. So I was like, you know, $2, that's, yeah, nothing. So I
jumped and it's good timing as well because Company of Heroes 2 is coming
out. Yeah, it just got announced. So the only thing I was debating was whether I should just go ahead and get Opposing Fronts and Tale of Valor 2, but I don't know, we'll see. But really, really liking that. And I'm not a big RTS guy, but I like how, like, you know, focused on the action it kind of is. And, I guess that's about it for me. Hopefully, I'll get the Game of Thrones game next week and all of its shitty glory.
maybe it might turn out well. You never know.
I'm cautiously optimistic that it will.
No, you aren't.
There's a small part of me that is cautiously optimistic. But I'm not getting my hopes up, let's put it that way.
Well, Cyanide don't have a good track record, let's put it that way.
That too.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen people like Rocksteady and Rocksteady.
Yeah, I mean, it could happen. Did we lose again?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it could happen, and... But, you know, the combination of Cyanide's track record and licensed games in general, just like, we'll see.
I guess when you play it next week, I'll ask more. Because I actually haven't been following this game because I honestly don't expect much from licensed titles. But I was, what type of game is it?
It's an RPG, and it's...
Because Cyanide have already made a Game of Thrones RTS anyway. So.
Yeah, they made an RTS that takes place like before the book series. Which got, like, I don't know, like, middling reviews, nothing.
It's got, like, 53 on Metacritic.
Yeah, so. And then this one is concurrent with the first book.
Yes.
But it's, you play as a Night's Watchman and a Red Priest who were not in the books. And the idea of that, according to their, like, dev diaries or whatever, is so that you're not playing, like, a predetermined story. Because they're not going to change George Martin's story, so they're going to intersect with it, but the idea is that there'll be room open for player choice to impact the narrative. So, I mean, we'll see. Like I said, part of me wants it to be good, but also, you know, not getting my hopes up.
Okay. I mean, we'll have more on that in Diablo 3 next week, apparently.
Yeah.
For Microsoft.
Assuming I do get it from Gamefly, so fingers crossed. Not that many people could probably want, or probably should be.
I think the show is kind of popular.
I think I don't know if that'll mean, like, the game will be. And with Max Payne 3 and Diablo also coming out next week, that probably works in my favor, but I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Might get another Lost Via Domus.
Yeah. Let's not mention that game.
What about you, Martin? Have you ever played anything new?
I played Minecraft 360 Edition.
How is that?
It's Minecraft.
Is it better or worse with the controller interface?
I actually really like the crafting system in the 360 version because I don't have to remember any of the recipes. I just pick what I want to build, and as long as I have all the stuff that's needed, it gets built. So that's pretty nice. I don't have to check the wiki or stuff like that. Problematic is that the world is kind of small if you have played the PC version because, well, the world's infinitely big there. And it's also based on a year-old build. The PC version already has... stuff like Hunger Now, an end quest, stuff like that. But they promised to have a few updates down the line. Who knows?
You pay for them.
No,
This is Microsoft.
They have secured...
You get some free ones.
Free updates.
Yeah.
So I will eat my hat when I see that.
Microsoft free updates.
I believe not.
They only allow it if it's, like, sponsored or something, which is... ridiculous, really, but apparently Notch fought for a limited number of free updates and got it, probably because the PC one does. That's one little bend is if like other platforms. Well, I guess
the funny thing is Notch can get Microsoft to do what it wants, but Valve can't. Which is just hilarious.
Actually, there was another. The Fez developer was complaining about this on Twitter this week that Notch was getting like special treatment or whatever, and Notch was just like,
"This
oh,
is the thing, right? Like, is Fez Phil Fish? Right? He said computers are for spreadsheets. He can do whatever he wants on the PC." He doesn't have to complain about not getting special treatment if he put his game on PC. But no, they're for spreadsheets, says Phil Fish.
Yeah, well, how's that that Kinect support they promised when they announced it? Oh, wait.
It is Minecraft, so of course they're not going to give you stuff that they promised.
Yeah.
It's not there. I also don't have Kinect, so I don't really care. It's fine.
I just thought
it
would be
a
cool idea, but like... Yeah, I just think it's funny. Like, that was the big deal they made when they announced the 360 version. And
anyway, it's a fine version of Minecraft, as you can't play it on PC, which I don't really know why. I think it should run on basically anything. Get the console version, otherwise get it on PC, because that's kind of the better version.
Okay.
I also played... Well, I finished Warriors Orochi 3, which was awesome. I'm not going to talk more about it because you don't want me to.
It is just Warriors Orochi, but more and better.
I just have no idea what you said, honestly. It's like in one ear out the other, so...
And I also played the demo of Spec Ops The Line, which is apparently still a real game.
Oh.
Yes, so you've been in, development for, what is it, 4 years now? Was it announced at VGA 2009?
I think so.
And we'll get to games that get announced way before their release dates later on.
Smash Brothers next, maybe?
Anyway, it's Spec Ops The Line. It's a pretty generic third-person cover-based shooter. You have probably played it 100 times before. You probably don't need to buy it.
Wasn't there like some type of hook when they first revealed it?
Yeah, the sand mechanics. Which was one part in the demo. There were a few guys standing under a glass ceiling which has sand on it. You shoot the glass and the guys get hit by the sand. That was
sounds like Minecraft.
Except there, it would have been Quarrel.
Okay. Anything else? Wait, when is this demo on, and how did I miss it without?
It's on Xbox Live. I'm not sure about PSN.
Okay. I would think people would have up impressions and stuff. Maybe I just kind of blank out on these type of games now, but I didn't see anybody talking about it this week.
I only knew that it was odd because I saw the thread on NeoGAF that quickly disappeared. Because nobody even cared about the demo.
That's what I'm talking about, because usually GAF has like a demo impression thread or something like that, and I didn't see anything like that this week, so I'm just like, maybe I'll check that out after this show.
Yeah, it's not a good sign if people don't even give the demo a shot. Just saying.
I just feel like that type of game people are kind of hitting their wall with, especially being that you have, I guess, two dominant franchises in Call of Duty and Battlefield now, that you really, there isn't room for a third or a fourth or whatever.
Well, even then, like, the Medal of Honors and the Ghost Recons are higher in the pecking order than Spec Ops, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we shall see. But I guess it's good that we've all been saying nothing this week, because we have a lot to talk about. Well, not a lot. We just have Sony's E3 stuff, and that's a huge ordeal to begin with. But let's go with the news of the week, and we'll start off with the one that sent shockwaves throughout the industry with Bioshock.
Oh. I'm glad. That means I've got less games to play this year.
I kind of have that too.
I can sit down and enjoy Bioshock 2 and enjoy it as much as I can without going, oh crap, now I've got to play Bioshock Infinite.
From what I understand, not many people enjoy Bioshock 2, so...
It was solid.
Yeah, but it wasn't by Irrational, that's why.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's delayed until February 2013, which is always a good thing, because...
And if Ken Levine wants to make a better game, then all power to him, let him do it.
Well, I think part of the reason people have had it, well, one, it's a game that a lot of people were looking forward to. I know Jason was.
Mm-hmm.
It's also been a game that, as of this summer, would have been announced 2 years ago. So that's always kind of a drag for people. And I think the other thing is that part of it seems to be that it's being delayed to add some type of multiplayer component.
Oh, God. Yep.
Oh, I hope that's not true.
Well, there's been talk of them adding, I don't think they said what it is exactly, but it's either multiplayer or a co-op.
If it's and co-op, then okay, but...
They are looking also on the website for network programmers, so...
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and I think that's why people are having issues with it. The other thing is, because this got delayed, you had a lot of people pop up with, oh, this must mean that GTA 5 is coming out this year.
I don't understand how that means anything about GTA 5.
It
still has a release schedule.
I still don't think GTA 5 will be this year. It will be May next year.
Yeah, that's been my prediction since it was revealed.
Yeah,
that was that came from the financial analyst, like Pactor, just saying, just taking a look at Take-Two's like revenue projections and their lineup, and they don't have anything in that time of the year anymore. And BioShock's next fiscal year, so
next quarter.
BioShock will be March. GTA 5 will be May.
Well,
already calling it.
Yeah, somebody pointed that. Somebody said that as well earlier. Like, that means they're pushing it out. The fiscal year goes into the end of March, so February is still within the same fiscal year. They just kind of missed the Christmas bump that most releases get on that time.
And the fiscal Q3.
Yeah, but BioShock has been a holiday title. The first one was August, and the second one was February.
Right.
So it's done well for the franchise. I don't see why change it and try to put it into a really crowded holiday season. Especially being like the day BioShock Infinite got delayed, Dishonored got pushed into October. And I think that's set for October 12th or something like that.
Yeah.
Which honestly I was surprised about because we haven't seen any gameplay of this game yet.
That was what I was thinking as well. But then I thought maybe it will be showcased at one of the big three conferences.
That could still be the case.
And that's why they have held back footage of the game.
I guess, but it just seems so. I'm not saying that I prefer shorter hype cycles because you don't get as much hype, and that, you know, because hype is usually what backfires on these big games. But yeah. It's just odd that they have a release date before we've seen gameplay. I guess the game's going to development and must be close to completion, but it's still kind of odd. We shall see at E3 in a couple of weeks. What else? Oh, Sony announced Soul Sacrifice for the Vita. Has anybody checked this out?
I've seen some gameplay. Didn't look that impressive, to be honest.
It's a very morbid game.
That's true. I was strictly speaking about the gameplay.
Oh, I know, but I'm just talking about, like, I guess I get that, you know, Blood and Guts is kind of cool at times, but this just seems very morbid. Like, you poke out your own eyeball to use a special move, or you cut off your finger. Like, basically the whole premise is that you sacrifice part of your body in order to gain strength, and it's just like, your special moves are various ways of chopping up your body. And that's really morbid. And I stopped following it after that point. So I don't even know if it's like persistent. Like if you chop off one of your eyeballs that you're kind of screwed for the rest of the game.
I don't think so.
If you're going to go with that, because the whole point is like, I think the enemies in the games are people who did it too often. So it's kind of like this X where it's kind of like, you know, you can be too much human, too much cyborg or whatever. But this is more like how much
human, too much with no body parts.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, so I'm just kind of curious to see. But, I mean, it's nice that Sony's announcing a new IP, a new franchise for the Vita. It's made by a big-time studio, big-time developer, I forget who. Is it the guy who did Resident Evil?
What?
This is a big name attached to this game.
Keiji Inafune. He made the concept for the game.
Okay.
Inafune is the Mega Man guy.
Yeah. But his company basically just made the concept of the game. The developer is someone else.
Okay. But, you know, you put that name out there, you say, you know, it's like, oh, it's the guy who made Mega Man. Granted, this looks nothing like Mega Man, so I guess it'd be a tough sell to the Mega Man audience. We shall see. Like I said, it's interesting that because Sony has kind of need to get on the ball with the Vita. It's not in the show notes, but one of the things that came out this week is that the Vita has sold 1.8 million, or shipped 1.8 million units since its launch up until the end of March.
Shipped.
Which is pretty bad.
Shipped is nothing.
Yeah,
I thought it was sold. 1.8.
Sony. Everybody kind of deals in ship numbers, but it's really easy to kind of see when you get numbers from other companies to see that it doesn't always add up. If we know the Vita is under like 500, I think it's under 500,000 in Japan and stuff like that. Or I think Sony's number has it at like 800,000, and it sold less than 100. It sold less than 83,000 this month. In April, I should say, for MPDs. So they need something to kind of pump life into that system fast.
Yeah.
And this is the type of experience, you know, it's something that isn't...
It's definitely unique.
It's unique.
It has four-player co-op.
How does that work? So is somebody going to chop off their eyes, somebody chops off their fingers, somebody chops off their feet, and you combine it to a super move or something?
Sure, why not?
So this is their morbid Demon Soul Monster Hunter crossover.
Yeah.
if they sell it like that, I assume they'll find an audience because Monster Hunter is huge.
When I watched the Japanese four-player footage, I saw four guys hitting on a huge monster. So
your interest peaked. So yeah, it should be interesting. We also had. We had more news from Pokemon Black and White 2, which
there's loads of recurring characters in it. I'm actually kind of interesting to see how all of these characters are going to be put together. And
yeah, it seems like it's going to have a very, very expansive end game or post game.
I hope so, because the end game in Black and White was dry. There was nothing there.
Yeah, because it seems like they're bringing back a bunch of old gym leaders, including Misty and Brock. I think somebody mentioned Blue's in it.
Yeah, Blue's in it. Cynthia's back, but she was back in Black and White anyway.
They're opening up the region west of Uva?
Unova, I think they call it. I don't know. It's hard to keep up with these.
Basically, they're expanding out the map. They're adding a bunch of old, you know, like the gym leaders are different. Some people, I think, from Black and White are now gym leaders. One or two characters have gone missing, so I assume that would be a plot point in the Pokemon game. There's a, you know, more Pokemon. Actually, I don't think there's new Pokemon. It's just
old ones are accessible.
From the get-go.
Yeah.
Well, not from the get-go, but from, you know, you can catch them in the wild and stuff like that. So it seems to be a combination of like the third game, and it seems to be a story sequel. So that's something. Pokemon Black and White 2 is out next month. Whenever in Japan, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
So yeah, I'm sure we'll have more. What else do we have? Last week, after we did our show, the bonus round does their whole E3 prediction stuff as well, copying our format, obviously. And they started off with Microsoft, and Pachter noted that Microsoft seems to be focusing on services for this year's show, and two such services may have leaked already, which is the Internet Explorer is coming out for Xbox 360, and this
with
fitness...
With Kinect support?
With Kinect support. And what is it called? Like We Play Fitness or...
Kinect Play Fitness.
We Play, of course.
Kinect Play.
I see what she did there.
Kinect Play Fitness. Kinect Play Fitness. I'm sorry. The first one is, one, it's odd that Microsoft is the only one of the big three who actually has an internet browser, and they're the ones who are coming to the party. Nintendo had it from day one. Sony's had it since day one. at Microsoft is just getting its 7 years
in. Well, Microsoft's excuse was, well, we don't want to put a web browser in a console because it doesn't work very well on a controller. So now waving your hand in front of the computer is in front of the TV is...
Yeah, and they always had that little keyboard thing you can add to your controller.
Yeah, I don't know.
The other thing is
really useful.
Nobody will care about it, and it will probably only work if you have Xbox Live Gold.
That would suck. That would be.
Of course, it will be then.
It'll be Microsoft, though. Microsoft.
If it works with Silver, then what is the point of paying for Gold to use the Twitter and Facebook app? Because then you could just use the browser to go
or
to
Netflix.
Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the other thing is people avoid using Internet Explorer for free on their computers. Who's going to pay to use it on the console?
Facebook and Twitter are free on my computer as well.
And my phone, and my tablet, and so many other devices, which is why I've never even downloaded those apps.
And that's why I said nobody will care.
Nobody but Microsoft. I hope they don't have a whole... I mean, I guess then again, they had that whole Bing search thing. Yes, yeah.
They had
then
the whole video chat bullshit.
Yeah,
so
but that
of course they
content,
will be like, look,
content.
We have a browser. You can wave at it and it will refresh or some shit. And, I will be bored to tears. I will bitch on Twitter. And then I will drink.
And then you'll continue supporting them anyhow because they have the games you want.
Exactly.
And that's kind of the abusive relationship we gamers have developed with Microsoft in the last 2 or 3 years at E3. It's like, oh, yes, a new Call of Duty, a new Halo. Here's some hardcore third-party shooter at the end, and you're satisfied for another year. Yeah,
all right, so also publish Halo 4.
See, there you go. They got you back on their side already. The other thing I actually think kind of sounds interesting in that it's like a global fitness app for the device. And I think that has potential, but I kind of think that the whole Kinect bubble is kind of dead in the water at this point. I think if anything, it should be a service they say for the next Xbox and kind of built it on the OS level. But yeah, I mean, what do you folks think?
I honestly think that you're correct. I mean, I don't see people going crazy over Kinect, all the games on it. So, like, even the people that were initially excited by things like Kinect Sports and stuff, they just... It's like, it's almost as if it doesn't exist to them anymore.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that with Star Wars Kinect, even though it was the second best-selling game of the month, really didn't sell that well. So, yeah.
Rise. Yeah. Still waiting for Rise.
Still waiting for Rise, which a lot of people are rumored is probably going to be moved over to the next Xbox console.
Which is not surprising at all.
But yeah, we can talk more about that next week when we talk about Microsoft at E3. What else did we have? Oh, Assassin's Creed 3. We had a debate before we started this show as to if we call it a gameplay trailer or not. So we'll go with in-game trailer.
Yeah,
that's better.
It shows assets and it shows actions that you can do in game, but it's not actual gameplay. It's like cutscenes, I guess.
Well, there's a lot of gameplay in it. So.
It's just not what they consider gameplay.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
It looks really good, yeah. And I noticed that they were like, "Here's our fancy new engine."
The engine looks really good. I don't know how interested you guys are in the American Revolution theme, but like I'm stoked on it, and I love like all the Assassin's Creed games. So
not
I'm
at
really,
all.
Really interested. And now that BioShock's Infinite's been delayed, this is like the one game I'm looking forward to in the fall. So they were a week apart before, so that's why. The delay wasn't as bad for me because now I'm like, I don't have to buy these two games back-to-back weeks.
On the bright side, that means you can buy Call of Duty Black Ops 2 now. I think the game always shows terrifically in trailers. I think it's always been one of those visual experiences. I was rewatching Sony's E3 2012 press conference to get prepared for today's show. And one of the things they show is when he uses the hand glider and kind of throws it into an enemy while it's set on fire and stuff like that. So the game always does demo well. That said, I think this is fantastic and it really has my interest. I want to see more of this game. Just some of the stuff he did, especially being that it's a lot more open now, like he doesn't have as many places to hide.
Yep.
But they do find places like him ducking in a house and stuff like that and taking cover in those. So that is awesome.
Yeah, the game itself seems fantastic. Lots of cool execution moves, kind of. I don't know what to call them. It looks fantastic. I'm still not really stoked on the whole American Revolution theme. I would have preferred something like London America. Or something like that.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a time period and it's an era that games don't usually cover, so visually it's different.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, Americans love their fun, so it makes sense to kind of...
The thing is, as long as they make the whole tree climbing stuff fun and all, it will probably be cool.
Yeah, that's, again, it's something that's kind of different. It's not something you do in many video games, so that should be cool, especially if you get to pretend to be an owl. I still think it's odd that he wears white because he does kind of stand out among the crowd, but that's just me.
Yeah, but hasn't he always stood out among the crowd for the most part?
Back
in the first game.
In the first two, it was kind of more because everybody else was kind of wearing dress robes and stuff like that. Hit us when you have people wearing like, you know, like red coats and stuff, and blue coats, and there's a guy in a white hoodie.
Well, he blends in with the snow, eh?
Yeah, but I've seen that everything takes place during the snow. If it was an entirely snowy game, that's fine, but it's like, when he's in the city and stuff, it's like a perfectly nice day. So, yeah. I'm looking forward to that, so I'm assuming we'll have more of this at E3, because I'm assuming one of the big three have this at their press conference.
And probably Ubisoft at their own?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I figured they'd do one, because I have to sit through it, so...
I'm curious to see if they'll show the Wii U version, also.
It's going to be interesting, because I think we're going to run into a situation... Like, I guess they could show the Wii U version, but not tell people it's the Wii U version. I think
if it will be at one of the big three, it will be at Nintendo.
We'll get into that in a couple of weeks. I don't think it would be.
I don't think it would be either.
I think Nintendo, if they do, they really have to focus on games that aren't ports or... You know, stuff. Like, stuff that's
they
kind
need
of...
I've something... for the Wii U, because, you know, I've got an Xbox 360. Why wouldn't I just buy it on my Xbox 360?
Yeah.
I think, like, if anything, you'll see it. They might show, like, if it does some cool things with the tablet, they'll show that, but it won't be a focus point. And
yeah,
it makes no sense for Ubisoft, because the built-in audience is on the other platforms, too.
Yeah, especially when Ubisoft does have the most... Like, they have the, Ghost Recon, and they have the Killer Freaks game, and those are exclusive. And if I was Nintendo, I'd kind of focus on that. Even if Assassin's Creed might be of higher quality, it is games that are exclusive.
Wait,
to your pack.
Ghost Recon, you mean the game that's free to play on PC?
Yes,
they do. Speaking of Ubisoft and the Wii U, because Ubisoft apparently is the only company who can't keep their mouth shut about the console, is they announced Avengers Battle for Earth, just for Jason. And this is a Kinect and Wii U title.
My prediction, Kinect and Wii U, it will be crap.
My idea is that it's probably going to be a motion-based brawler, kind of like powered
have,
up.
We're going to have like the Avengers dance-off. That'd be quite cool.
Hey,
don't get me wrong.
But the thing is, and this is what's like, if it's on Kinect and Wii U, that's an odd combo, because as far as we know, Wii U doesn't have camera tracking like the Kinect. And if it uses the remote, I'm just curious as to why they don't do a PS Move version as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if this was you that said this earlier. Somebody on Twitter was like, it's funny because one of the platforms is no controller, and the other platform is the biggest controller there is.
No, that does make sense, but yeah, it's an interesting dual SKU setup. It's not even like Xbox and Wii U. It's Kinect and Wii U. And Terra Kinect, it just doesn't give many people faith. Like I said, I think it's going to look like Ubisoft's other... I think Ubisoft has two. They have Power Up Fighters, Power Up Heroes, and they have... I think they were the ones who did Fighters Uncaged or Unleashed or whatever that's called.
Didn't they also do one of those Marvel mini hero thingies?
I don't think that was a Kinect game. I think it was Superhero Squad, probably.
I think
that
was
Kinect. THQ.
Yeah, that was THQ.
It was Ubisoft's first Marvel game.
And it was on the U-Tablet. Or the U-Draw.
Right. You're right.
Yeah, I played that at Comic-Con, and I put it down after a second. And Avengers was announced perfectly because Jason was looking for an Avengers game to play.
No. I was looking for Marvel developed game.
Well, you were looking for an Avengers game when the movie came out.
Oh yeah, so but
your Avengers game is
this doesn't count. That's like saying the Avengers Facebook game counts.
That's an awesome game, though.
Sure.
Yeah,
it is. I love that game. It's a decent RPG, nothing special, but it's a great time waster.
Sure.
I'll just take your word for it.
I'm like a level 50 in that game. So yeah, it's a time waster. And finally we had word from Nintendo that they're dropping the price of the DSi and the DSi.
About time.
You said that, and I think I disagree with you. I agree with you that the DS needed a price drop, but I think it was better that they did it later on, where it's like, if you had done it before Christmas, it would have been competing with the 3DS, and if you had an option between a DSi for $100 and a 3DS for $170, I would go with the DSi.
But see, that was the problem, was that the DSi XL was the same price as the 3DS.
Yeah, which
makes
is my
no
point.
Sense.
Yeah, which is my
to get people to buy the 3DS instead.
Well, your logic doesn't make that much sense either, because it's like, oh, don't buy this one product we have because the newer one is the same price. Or they could just lower the price a little bit and be like, hey, we have three really attractive products.
Yeah, but when you're I understand your point, and this Sony does this. But the thing is, if the 3DS is your focus, you want to build up that install base. And if the DSi and the DSi XL are going to hinder that, you kind of want to end. And I get your point. Like, you're saying, like, okay, you know, it's Nintendo. You're getting money from all 3D systems no matter what. But in the long run, in a year or two, the 3DS is going to be a focus, and the DSi and the DSi XL will be phased out. So you kind of want those to be front and center, not kind of competing with you. It's kind of what we're seeing with the PSP and the PS Vita, where the PSP is still a thriving platform in Japan, and it continues to outsell the Vita.
And it's got more. It's getting more games than the Vita as well.
Yeah, and that's a problem when you want to build up the install base for your new console. It's going to be the issue that Sony and Microsoft run into.
I mean, it's kind of a problem, but it's not, because it's the people who are buying these cheaper console or these cheaper platforms this late in the life cycle are not going to probably be buying the newer platform instead anyway. And that's why it helps the company as a whole to just have extra revenue stream that they can turn around and put into the newer platform.
And like I said, I understand your logic on paper, because if they buy a DSi, if they buy a DSi XL, if they buy a 3DS, it's still Nintendo's product. It's still going to Nintendo. I'm just saying that from them, it made more sense. Like, I would have done this in February or so, a bit earlier, but not before Christmas, because like, if your mom buying you a new 3DS or a DS, it's like $170 for a 3DS or $170 for a DSi. You get the 3DS, you can play all the DSi games. Well, DS, I'm going to stop calling it DSi. You can play all of those games, and you get you get the new Mario and the new Mario Kart, as opposed to, it's $100. You can get the old Mario and the old Mario Kart and stuff like that. And Brain Age and all that other fun jazz that people buy.
All right, I mean, I get your point with the Christmas sales, but this is May now.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you. I think it should have been done early in the year.
Yeah.
Because at this point, you've kind of gone through Christmas, and it's like, the DS is kind of dead now. But I guess they're also trying to ramp, and this is the other issue, they're kind of ramping up for Pokemon Conquest next month, and Pokemon Black and White 2 at the end of the year.
You know, that's a good point. If they're already releasing a new Pokemon on the older system, might as well maximize the sales for that.
Yeah, at that, then it's like, people can buy a DSi and play this, or people can get it on the 3DS if they have it, or people can buy a 3DS and buy it. And it's affordable, but yeah, it's going to be the same issue, but we shall see. I assume that people, you know, they have an install base. They have people who are kind of transitioning to the 3DS. And they have, you know, products that are exclusive that are doing well. And Mario Tennis Online or Open comes out this month or whatever. So we shall see how it works out for them. I think that's it for news. If anybody has something we missed out on.
Well, the new Hitman is coming out November 20th.
Yeah, oh yeah, I forgot about
with
one. That's a really
exclusive
odd
sniper challenge.
Right before Thanksgiving, right?
I don't know your weird holidays.
Oh, okay. That's the Tuesday right before Thanksgiving, which is it's the best week. It's, you know, the best week for sales, but it's usually not the best time to release a new game because you're kind of sandwiched in between, like everybody. Like usually, what happens?
Well, they are basically releasing after Assassin's Creed 3, Black Ops 2, and Halo 4. Who is going to buy this game?
The people who didn't buy Call of Duty or Halo.
The people who bought Rayman Origins.
That's a hope. But yeah, and the other thing, and this usually happens, especially with it being Black Friday, it's like that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You'll get new games. Like they'll have Call of Duty. They'll have WWE 13. They'll have Assassin's Creed. They'll have Halo for like $35, $30. So it's like you're a $60 game competing with these games that people want for Christmas at half the price. So we shall see. And the Sniper Challenge is something that comes out this summer, right?
Yeah. You get it if you pre-order GameStop, apparently.
Yeah, you see, I understand why, but I always, because I've done this, like you pre-order the game, you get the pre-order bonus, and you never pick it up. They keep your money, it rolls over, so you don't, like, I pre-ordered Monster Hunter Tri to get the demo, and I never picked that game up.
Yeah, but isn't Sniper Challenge an XBLA game?
Yeah, it is.
So you get given a code for it.
But it's not, they're not going to sell it separately. It's only for pre-orders.
They will probably sell it at some point.
I mean, I hope so, because if they threw it up there for like $5, I'd probably get it, but I don't have any interest in Hitman proper.
You can get it for free from GameStop.
Oh, like do what you're saying and go pre-order it, cancel it after?
Yeah.
There's no rule that says you have to keep the pre-order. It just lets you pre-order it. You only have to put $5 down, and then you can just use it for Assassin's Creed.
But then I have to go to GameStop.
That comes out ahead of time. Because GameStop keeps your money, and they're usually pretty good at telling you when they have your money. So, there's that. So, yes, Hitman, Sniper Challenge, and Hitman. What is this? Absolutely.
It's a pretty cool idea, actually.
I think we've had games before that had like mini games that came out before the main game. And it's a great, it's kind of like what Capcom tried to do with K-Zero.
Hmm.
Yeah. Dead Rising. Yeah, I like it. It's like marketing.
I mean,
it is.
You can't
like,
say, oh, they're cutting out the disc.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't. I mean, like, especially like Final Fantasy used to do that. I mean, they had a ton of mini games. If you like put out one, like if you had a Blitzball mini game, you just kind of put that out before Final Fantasy X, so people had something to do. I could say way to do a demo and get money without ripping off the consumer. If that makes sense.
Or you could do the opposite and take the assets from the game you already sold and create a new standalone experience for $10, like Harley Quinn's Revenge.
Yeah, yes, except some people are upset about that because you can't free roam as Robin.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Well, you can free roam the part of the city that the thing is.
Well, yeah, you can. But that's not free roaming, you're kind of cut off. It's like I say it in Arkham City to an even smaller part of Arkham City. But yeah, I'm excited for it. It looks good, and it's the type of DLC that's, you know, it's coming out at a time. It's like 6 months after release, so it's not content that they kept, you know, like kept away from the consumer, and it seems to be meaty. I think it's, people said 2 or 3 hours, $10, and if you waited, you can get the Game of the Year edition. It comes with all of this stuff around the same time.
I'm just impressed that it's a standalone DLC.
Yeah, I mean, we've had very few games that's in it, but
I think I would be more content if people did that more, because I bought K-Zero, and that was enough Dead Rising for me.
Yeah, I actually think that I think standalone DLCs are much, but I guess the thing with standalone DLC is that the idea is that you want people to keep the game. So
I suppose,
you do standalone DLC and they don't need to keep the physical game, I can see why people are against it. But it is nice that, like if you wanted to, if you want a GTA, but you don't want, like, a full GTA 4 experience, you could buy the Austin the Dam and the Bad the Gay Tony, and you kind of get your GTA fill. So yeah. That's it for news and the games we've been playing. So we're going to move over to Sony at E3, and we're going to get started, but we're going to allow Jason to speak first, because he has to bow out of here, or at least remain silent for most of this, since he does work with the company.
Yeah, so just in case any listeners didn't know, I recently joined Sony, so I can't really comment on anything these guys are going to talk about, so I'm just going to dip out of here. But before I do, the one thing I want to see at E3 is just, you know, more third-party Vita games, because, I mean, I've gotten my hands on the platform finally, like, a good amount, and it's a sweet piece of hardware, but there's, like, no games for it right now, so I can't comment on anything first-party, but I hope the third-party people bring it.
Oh, okay. Well, you're already commenting then, because it's saying that, like, oh, first-party will be fine, so... But yeah, I was about to say, I would want to see some from the first party, because as of right now, I think Sony only has Resistance, Burning Sky, Middle Big Planet, I think that's a thing, and Soul Sacrifice, I guess, are the three titles they have announced. I can be missing something at this point.
Have Gravity Rush coming out in June.
Is that first party?
Gravity Rush. Gravity Days.
Yeah, Gravity Days in some parts of the world, Gravity Rush here.
Also, Earl, you have to remember the thing that Sony will have, like, 20 new game experiences. I guess a bunch of those will be Vita games.
They have to be Vita games, and I guess this is... We can start here. As I've been rewatching the E3 press conferences this week to get a handle of how Sony handles their press conference and stuff like that, and one of the things is that they like to focus on what they're doing. So, like, for 2005 was an entire two-hour press conference dedicated to nothing but the PS3. There was hardly any talk of the PSP or the PS2 at the time. It was just two hours of PS3 talk. And this is one of the reasons I don't think Sony's going to announce a PS4 at E3. It's because they need to focus on the Vita. They need to show people that there's confidence in that device, and to show people that there is a bright future coming for it. And they can't do that if they're going to focus their attention elsewhere. So this E3 has to be focused, even more so than the PS3, it has to be focused on what they have coming down the pipes for the PS Vita.
They will focus on the few PS3 exclusive, I guess. They will probably showcase the new God of War. They will showcase Last of Us.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I think this is part of the reason, and Sony PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale.
Right, and
maybe
a little bit karting is even something I guess they could just show a short trailer of, and not even focus on.
Montage.
The montage thing. What I think is maybe they will have one third-party exclusive thing, not a game, but like when they had Assassin's Creed on stage, because they have too much space on the Blu-ray disc and you get the first game with it. Something like that might be the
case. It'll probably be EA that they do that with, because EA and Sony have been getting friendly.
Yeah, maybe something for Medal of Honor Warfighter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think that's part of the reason they're announcing so many of these PS3 games ahead of time. Like, it was something we discussed when they've announced God of War Ascension, they've announced PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, and it's like, maybe it's the opposite. Maybe it's not that they want to get this out of the way. It's maybe they want to keep everything Vita-related a surprise and focus the conference on that.
That's true. I totally agree with it, but I still think Last of Us and God of War, those two games need to have gameplay presentations at the conference.
Oh, they will.
I can totally see them just pumping out Vita software, first party or third party. At least I hope they will, because the system needs it.
They have. It's been on rocky waters, and if this E3 isn't about the Vita, and I mean, I'm talking like 75% of their conference is dedicated to the Vita, and a ton of great games and original exclusive content from third parties, and not just like, oh, here's Tekken X Street Fighter
and
with...
here's Call of Duty.
Yeah, and here's a port of Call of Duty Black Ops 2 for the Vita. I'm talking about, like, original stuff that you can't get anywhere else.
Yeah.
Major stuff. And a reason to, you know, like, even if it's just PS3 and PSV cross-platform play for certain titles, they need that stuff to be front and center. Because the Vita can't handle... The Vita's already on shaky eggs without consumers, and I think E3 is seen as a time, because even after E3, you're still going to have to wait a couple of months for these games to come out, at best.
Mm. And I'm just going to throw something crazy out there. What about God of War and maybe even Last of Us also on the Vita?
If I was Sony, I probably... See, this runs into the same problem that I think it would have before with other games, is if it's just like Call of Duty, if it's just like God of War Ascension on the go or stuff like that, it's not really a system seller, because you're still kind of combating, like, would I rather play this on my PS3 or my PS Vita?
It's probably not a system seller, but it would be an easy way to pad out the library.
Yeah, but, at this point, you don't... The Vita has games. It has a ton of... It launched with a ton of games. That's not what it needs. It needs system sellers. It needs something for people to buy the system for. And just saying, like, oh, yeah, we have a part of Final Fantasy X. We have a part of God of War Ascension. We have a part of Little Big Planet Card. And we have... It isn't going to add up to a lot of consumers.
That is true. But this is Sony we're talking about.
Yeah,
they have done stuff like this before. That's why I'm suggesting it might be the case.
It's a possibility, but I was going to say, isn't... I thought part of the selling point is that you can play certain PS3 games on the Vita anyhow.
Mm.
Oh, God.
But yeah, I guess, you know, that, you know, that will go to the other question. It's like, what games can or will Sony announce at E3 for the Vita that will get people excited about the device?
I'm going to say right ahead, they will not have Monster Hunter.
At this point, I don't expect Monster Hunter on the Vita anytime soon.
I think it could be anything.
Even if they had it, it would not be at E3.
It could be anything, because the exclusives that the Vita has at the moment are fairly unique to it. So we don't even know. There's probably going to be a bunch of new stuff that we haven't seen and we don't have any comprehension of at the moment.
But which studios could be working on the Vita?
Well, we know Naughty Dog isn't.
Yeah.
I don't think Media Molecules is either.
You should.
I could be mistaken. I thought they said they... Because I think one or two of Sony's developers have come out and said they aren't working on the... Which isn't an attitude your developers should have. Because I assume to gamers, it's seen as kind of a... It kind of comes off as a waste of resources. Naughty Dog shouldn't have to waste their time making a Vita game because they need to have PS3 games for us to play. And I think that's the attitude that Sony and their developers and their consumers have. The problem is, then there's no games for the Vita because Naughty Dog isn't doing it. Media Molecules isn't doing it. I'm assuming Sony Santa Monica isn't doing it.
Yeah.
Who can they actively? Who has time right now?
Studio London?
They would
the Wipeout the guys.
Okay.
Well, we got London and Liverpool.
Wipeout, so they could be working on another title.
Yeah, and they could be Wipeout. Didn't Wipeout launch with the system?
Yeah.
Okay. But then, even then, they just finished the game.
Well, they probably finished sometime.
Yeah, but even do you expect them to have a new game out this year if they just finished it in like December, November of last year?
Well, no,
I'm not sure how big the London studio is.
We're gonna have an announcement at least.
Yeah.
Oh, they can have an announcement. I'm just saying that part of it is the announcement. But you also need these games. You need games out this fall too, because you can't just say, oh, we'll have this game out in 2 years. We'll have this game out in 3 years. We'll have this game out when it's done.
Yeah. And what's the studio called that did the Getaway games? Is it Sony Cambridge?
Didn't they close down?
What?
I thought Sony came.
They did. Very... When they closed down, there was going to be another getaway on the PS3.
Oh, right. They completely closed them down. Right. What else do we have? Do they have? Well, the big question mark is Sony Japan, to be honest.
Well, one, we know that they've been half of them have been tied up in the Asgardian since almost everybody in the company is working on it at this point. And the other one is Panini Digital, which does. And let's be honest, Gran Turismo is not a game you get done overnight, as you found out this generation.
Not.
So, and have they done any? I mean, they've done other games before GT.
Yeah.
But have they done anything recently?
No, I don't think they have done anything other than GT.
Ever since GT, they pretty much have just been doing GT.
Maybe they'll do like a GT for a portable version of it or something, or they can reuse assets from other from other GT games and make like a portable version of that.
I could see them doing something like that. I mean, they did the GT PSP, which was pretty much also which was kind of a rush job, to be honest. If you played it, you would know why, and they could probably do something like that for the Vita.
Yeah, and that's not going to help the image, though, is if you're rushing out games. Just,
awesome.
And it's not like, you know, I was reading this in the MPD threads today. It's the reason that Nintendo handheld titles usually sell well is because Mario Kart is done by the Mario Kart team. Super Mario 3DN is done by the Galaxy team. New Super Mario Bros. 2 is done by the New Super Mario Bros. Team. Zelda is usually done by Unami's whatever team and stuff like that. They're done by the people who do the console version, so it never feels like a stopgap system.
Mm-hmm.
Other than Phantom Hourglass and Spirit Tracks. So yeah, as Sony kind of needs that. They need some of their, even if it's their major third parties like Insomniac or anybody like that.
Insomniac is not going to do an exclusive thing for Vita. Not right now.
No, I mean, they're doing console games and they're doing iOS games, but they won't.
And
they
are now multi.
They're doing Facebook games.
So yeah, it's that's going to be the focus, and I hope Sony comes out guns a-blazing with that and announcing a ton of games we didn't hear about, one or two new IPs, but they also need those huge franchises because as much as people want new IPs, franchises is what sells in this industry.
Speaking of franchises, stuff like that, I mean, this is the Sony talk we're having here, but talking about the Vita, I guess we do have to talk about third parties at this point also.
Yeah.
Do we think any real third party exclusives will be showing up? Or will it be just be port jobs?
I think it's gonna, I see ports I always think have a negative connotation because I'm assuming like if it comes out the same time as the console version, I don't usually consider it a port.
Yeah.
But I do kind of see stuff come, you know, like I do expect the Call of Duty game to come out. I expect it to be done by a subset of Treyarch. At this point, it could be the people who usually worked on the Wii version of the game.
Yeah.
There could be, BioShock Infinite's not doing it. I don't remember the Assassin's Creed PSP doing that great.
No, it didn't, I think.
Right,
there's the BioShock Vita thing coming, but I really doubt they're showing that because they haven't even started working on it.
I was going to say that, and the fact that BioShock Infinite itself got delayed out of this year, I doubt that BioShock PS Vita is going to be out this year. And also, Take-Two's not at E3 this year.
Really?
I think that's what they said, because they have nothing to show now. BioShock is delayed into next year. Max Payne's out this week.
Huh. Okay.
What else is on their calendar?
Borderlands 2?
Yeah, right, Borderlands.
But other than that, there's not a lot.
There's not a lot, so... there's that. Who else? Square Enix. Ray don't seem to be behind it. I mean, the Tokyo Game Show would have been the show to do it.
Yep.
And the only thing they really announced is the Final Fantasy X port, which I expect we might see, because we haven't heard anything about it since it was announced, like, 7 months ago?
Yeah.
So that might be there.
And even if Square Enix would have new games, I would assume to see them at TGS.
Yeah.
Not at E3.
Maybe they'll do a little of both, because you still need to encourage the Japanese sales as well. You can't wait until TGS for that either.
True. But it always depends for Square Enix on the if it's a marquee title. If it's Final Fantasy, they show it at E3. If it's something like, I don't
know. Bravely Default, Giant Fairy.
Yeah, then it will probably be TGS.
Yeah. Kojima, Konami, possible like Metal Gear Solid Revengeance port.
Yeah, another port. That's all I can think of, though, for the Vita. All those third parties doing ports. I can't think of a single big developer that would go, man, I want to do an exclusive title for the Vita.
Well, I think I would say put that across the platform for handhelds. The West doesn't really like handheld titles, but for the most part, it's usually just like it's licensed title or it's like a downport of their console experience.
Exactly.
I mean, Nintendo has it okay because, one, Nintendo has huge franchises on their handhelds, but they also tend to have the Japanese support.
Yeah.
I mean, like, even if, like Evo 5 has something for the Vita, I don't think that would be something Sony would showcase. It's something you do in a sizzle reel. If Atlus had something, again, I think it would be something you show in a sizzle reel, not something you kind of spend time on.
Yeah. That's why I think even now, talking about it, even if Sony has, like, 15 titles of their own to show off, and just ports from other developers. That's not really an impressive showing.
Yeah. Like, I honestly don't. And I think the other thing is, and this is, you know, this is a minor perspective problem, is like with the,
I mean, their console doesn't sell just because there's Sony games on it. We talked about it before. They have great exclusive titles, but they don't sell consoles like Nintendo titles.
Yeah. They don't, and no, or even Microsoft. Halo is a bigger franchise than anything Sony has, and Gears of War would be up there as well. I guess the other thing is, like, would you expect ports of like Big Panic Karting and PlayStation All Stars Battle Royale? If those don't show up, is that a problem?
I think so. I think they probably need to put those games on the Vita as well.
Okay. Most of the show would have to be focused on the Vita, but on the other end of the spectrum, what do we expect from the PS3?
There will be MLB 12 The Show. Guaranteed. Because it's what Sony does.
Yeah, but that's not usually something they highlight.
Well, no, but it will be there. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it will be there. I mean, it's not something you have to announce at E3 or something. Because I've been rewatching it. They've also one of the studios who focus the most on sports games because they've had several live demos of like NBA 2K games on the stage.
Have we got a date for Sorcery? Will that be there?
Sorcery is out this
month. Oh, okay. Well, that's not going to be there then.
That's the other thing I was asking. What do you expect from the Move at this event?
Will it be there?
Absolutely nothing. Move sells like absolute dog shit. They have no games. And I don't really expect them to push this thing again this E3. They tried last year. It did nothing. I don't think they're going to try this year again because they have to work on the Vita.
Yeah, they have to work on the Vita, and I think, like you said, I think they've all but given up on the Move because it's been a year and a half. Sales haven't really increased. Software is non-existent.
And next year we will probably have a new home console, so why even bother?
And that's another thing. And this happens with all three of the major ones, but I noticed it with Sony. And Sony's, I guess, really behind their products before it launches, and then they just kind of forget about it. They were hugely behind Home. They had a focus on that 2 years in a row. They were hugely behind Move. They had that as a focus 2 years in a row. The PS3 was talked about, like I said, entirely for 2005, a year and a half before the console came out. And then it was most of the press conference at 2006. Yeah, and it's the same thing with the Vita. The Vita, coming out of last E3, the Vita was the hottest thing going. It had a lot of positive buzz around it. It had a great price point. And somehow within that 11 months since then, it's kind of been squandered. And Sony hasn't been able to keep that momentum going.
Yeah.
So it's something they need to work on this year is, one, I think one of the things they need to work on is kind of reeling in the types of games they show. Watching it, they announced, I mean, part of it is out of their control, but and they announced Final Fantasy 13 and 13 Versus at E3 2006.
Yeah.
You got Final Fantasy 13 in 2010, And we still haven't got Final Fantasy Versus 13. They announced Agent at 2009. I don't think we've had an update on that in 3 years.
Nope.
They've announced the Asgardian in 2009.
Oh, we heard nothing from that since either.
I think we've had it. We think we had a Troy in 2010 or
2011. Oh, remember there was also Resident Evil PSP.
That was another thing that Resident Evil Portable was announced. Nothing ever came of it. The funny thing is, Resident Evil Portable was announced, and it was supposed to come out that year.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Some of the games get canceled. Like, what is it? 8 days. They announced like a joint venture with NCSoft that they will bring exclusive content to the PS3. Nothing came out of that deal. So I think they need to kind of focus on like, okay, here's the games that are coming out within the next 6 months to a year. Instead of these kind of, I understand that you kind of want these long range projects, but at the same time,
having loads of them that don't ever show up.
Yeah, like, I mean,
you also
Twisted
have
Metal,
to wonder what kind of deals is Sony making if nothing shows up.
Yeah, that's the other, because they've announced, you know, they announced that they had the deals with, like, Epic Games in, I think, 2008. And I don't think much ever, you know, Unreal Engine was optimized for it, and they got Unreal Tournament. But, you know, they've gotten really nothing since then from it. So, yeah, on paper, they're making a lot of the right moves. It's just that the follow-through never seems to be there. There were a lot of features they... You know, they rattled off of the PS3 that never really came to fruition. There was something like, you know, you can video chat live with all your friends. I don't even think you can video chat on the PS3.
You can. You can do it, but not... I think it's just one person you can do it with.
Yeah, and so, they need to... I think that's what they need to focus on for their presentation. They tend to have the longest press conference, which also means they tend to have... The oddest pacing. They need to work on that. I think they need to trim down their press conference.
Less montages, please, Sony. We've been asking you for years. Less montages.
Guys, I think on average, their press conferences are about an hour and 45 minutes. Mm. Nintendo tends to be about 70 minutes, and Microsoft is about 80, 85 minutes. So if Sony can get it down to around that same ballpark as Microsoft, I think it would help them out at that.
Yep.
One of the positive notes from the PS3 and the PSP not doing so hot is that Sony had to reel back the amount of sales talk they did at these press conferences, and that really helped them recently, because then they have a laser focus on the games and the experiences and the features that are coming to their device in the next year or two, and that's been much better for their show instead of spending half an hour talking about how awesome they are.
Oh, I have a question for you, too, talking about how they present stuff. Do you think they will again push 3D as hard as last year?
No. That's another thing that Sony tends to do. Sony is, they pick up and drop out of things really quickly. Like, I think it was 2008, they had a fantastic sales presentation, and they did it in the Little Big Planet engine. You know, it was fun. It's showing off game at the same time, and it shows you to play, share, and create stuff. Then they did it the next year. I think they did it in Home. And Home, as we know, wasn't that great, but it was again something different, something unique, and they kind of need to focus on that. 3D is terrible because it's a pain in the ass for people in the audience, and it's a pain in the ass for people at home because they don't get to see that.
The 3D TV that they announced and then released. We haven't heard of how successful that has been, so
apparently not much.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I forgot about that, and that just came out.
Yeah.
That's if I was to give advice to Sony, is to make it shorter, make it more concise, focus on games that you're kind of releasing in this calendar year.
Focus on games that you are sure will be released.
Yeah.
Focus on games that you're sure are going to be released. And, I think that's it. Just focus on games. And actually make Jack Trenton present. He's the best presenter they have. Phil Harrison's just really awkward. And
I like Jack Trenton as well.
Crazy Ken's no longer there, and I assume Castle Rye's probably too busy elsewhere to show up, but who knows. Jack Trenton's he's really nice, he's personable, he gets his message, his care. Some of his humor and some of Sony's humor just seems really forced, and you know, it is rehearsed over and over again, but some of it does kind of come off as fake and cheesy.
But not as bad as Microsoft.
Not as bad as Microsoft. Well, it depends. I like the new guy, Don Metric.
What?
Yeah.
What? You do? His shit-faced Strin.
It's the best part of the press conference.
Every time I see him,
that's the best part of the press conference. Is he seems so enthusiastic about everything he's talked about because he wears this shit eating grin.
God, I hate this guy.
So yeah, another thing they kind of dropped was Kevin Butler, who won. Oh, you showed up in 2010. True, I don't think I've seen him in a commercial in the last 6 months.
Has there been any commercials in the last 6 months?
I haven't seen a Starhawk commercial, and I haven't seen. I honestly don't know what else they released.
But saying that, E3 is when they announce their new advertising campaigns, anyway. So we'll see him.
They don't do that. That was a terrible decision when they did. You don't use E3 to become a commercial for your commercial.
Here's our new advertising campaign with Coca-Cola, says Sony, yeah. E3 2011.
Okay, and I would start off with PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale. I think it's one of those things that's going to get people amped up for your system. And with gameplay of God of War, I suppose, whichever one you think is going to be more visually impressive. And what do you think is their potential? Because Sony likes to have that final go. Everybody has that final go-home surprise game. So what do you think it will be? Will it be a Vita title or a PS3 title?
It's got to be a Vita title, because...
Yeah, it's got to be.
So could this possibly be Bioshock?
They need it to be a Vita title, because people need to be excited about getting a Vita.
It doesn't have to be a third-party title. It could be, I don't know, maybe they resurrect an old Sony franchise for the Vita?
And it's kind of... And it's kind of weird to say this because I know how it comes off, is they don't have a franchise to resurrect on the same level as Nintendo.
Probably not, but like, I would like to see a new Medieval. I mean, a real Medieval.
Yeah, like you resurrect that, and like five people are gonna know what it is.
I know what it is. I'm excited.
I mean, Kid Icarus is kind of the same way, but. You know, Kid Icarus was a franchise that people were kind of clamoring for, and Pit was in Smash Bros. So, if he was familiar to this generation, like, if this is next year after PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, what is it, Sir Francis Drake, whatever his name is,
You know what I just remembered would be a great exclusive Vita title from Sony, and a first-party title?
What?
And the characters also showing up in Sony's All-Star game? Can you guess which one?
Parappa the Rapper?
Exactly.
Actually,
I think that could make an excellent Vita title. With,
yeah, it
with
would.
Touch functionality and stuff like that.
Yeah, it could be, like, and I know Parappa's older, but it could be their answer to, like, a Beat Agent.
Yeah, exactly. And
it's a franchise that if you're going to push on the smoke, you're going to get that built-in audience with the PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale.
Exactly.
It makes sense to kind of do the 1-2 punch. So that's
and not only that is you could quite easily introduce it to new people through the Vita.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we also haven't seen anything about Sly Cooper 4, so I assume that might be at E3 as well.
Yeah.
Probably.
Do you expect anything from Ratchet and Clank or Jak and
Dexter? They've probably got a new Ratchet and Clank game for the Vita at some point. I mean,
that I could see as well.
Yeah. It's going to happen.
Right, but who would make it? Someone like Ready at Dawn or
We said before, Sony doesn't really have to focus on the people who make the console great version, so they'll give it to somebody. They'll give it to, what is that, Japanese? Singe?
The Japanese guys are not going to make a Ratchet and Clank game.
They should give it to EAD Tokyo. They know how to make fast.
I have another question. What about some kind of more Vita PS3 interconnectivity stuff?
I think that's something they have to show off. I think it's because it helps them to steal thunder from Nintendo.
Yep.
And they're a day before, and that's, you know, they like to do that. They announced the 6-axis the year that Nintendo was going to show off the Wii. They announced the Move. The Nintendo showed off the Wii Motion Plus. So it makes sense.
Yep.
But it's also a feature that they promised, because they were showing this off at E3, I think 2006 or 2007. Like, you can use your PSP as like a, you could use it as your rearview mirror in Gran Turismo, and you can get live streaming gameplay, and nothing ever came out of that. So we shall see. I think, you know, Sony's always good at having these ideas and kind of presenting them. They're just never great at following through on it. And that's something that they need to work on, is these I don't want to say false promises, but these unfulfilled promises that they continue to make year after year.
Yeah. So for the big ending game, my prediction is Parappa for Vita. Because I think that would be nice.
I think that would be awesome too. I think, because I mean, they did it with Twisted Metal, and I'm assuming that's probably on the same level.
Yep.
So yeah, Parappa to Rapper Vita. Maybe it's a Vita and PS3 title.
Who knows?
As your big end title, and I'm fully aboard with that. Maybe whatever Quantum Dreams is doing.
Right, maybe. They would have to do something. They have the new tech. They should be working on a game. Could be, but I don't know how far they would be along, because they only short of the tech so far.
Yeah, but as I mentioned before, Sony has no problem announcing games 2 years out.
That's true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just remembered they also have that Dust game.
Dust 514?
Yeah. They probably should do something with that, right?
They probably should.
Well, that's down to CCP to show that one off. But it will be there.
Yeah.
And they have Sony Entertainment. What is it? Sony. It's definitely their MMO company. Because they, you know, they haven't done anything since DC Universe Online, and that's been a year and a half.
They're doing PlanetSide 2, aren't they? On PC.
Maybe announce PlanetSide 2 for the PS3 or something like that.
Maybe they'll announce Half-Life Episode 3.
Nope.
Even though Valve have already said, no, we're not doing it.
Well, it's the same way that once you say no, everybody means that knows that means you're saying yes.
Oh, dear.
That's how they gave it in the street.
Okay, Half-Life 2, Episode 3, and Half-Life 3, and Half-Life 4 at the same time.
But yes, I think that's it for us this week. I mean,
I'm have something else to ask.
Oh?
Because I've been seeing all these Vita bundles lately, which reminded me when the 3DS was not selling well and all these 3DS bundles were showing up. I know you have like some bundles in the US. I have seen a lot of bundles here in Germany, to be honest, which are kind of awesome deals. You basically just buy the console at even a lesser price. They have like, normally the Wi-Fi version is, I think, €250, and you can get it for €230, get a game for €15 cheaper, and get an 8GB memory stick for free, which is actually kind of a good deal. So that got me thinking. Shortly after that, the 3DS got a price cut. What about the Vita?
I know it's the popular thing, but I honestly, Sony is not in the financial situation to do a price cut. If you saw how bad it hurt Nintendo, and Nintendo's a much more financially secure company than Sony is. Sony's been bleeding money most of this generation, and I don't think they have the wiggle room to drop the price. I think really they're going to have to focus on games, and if anything, maybe doing a better bundle, which is something they did with the PSP, now that you mention it. They did the Hannah Montana one, they did the Star Wars one, they did the MLB one. They did a lot of bundles. This way you don't have to drop the price, and you kind of entice people with games and memory cards and stuff like that. Yeah. And I honestly see them that being their first course of action before a price drop.
So official bundles, you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, that might be a good guess, I think. Or maybe something I thought about, because those memory sticks are ridiculously expensive, maybe drop the price on those.
Yeah, that. But I don't think that's something you do. Could you see that?
That's not something you would announce at E3, but something I've been thinking about.
Something you can announce at E3, it's just not something you announce at your press conference.
No, of course not.
But the thing is, it's like, it still doesn't help the console's image, because the entry price is still high.
Yeah.
The startup set price is cheaper, but it's kind of like it's still $250 for the system. So if anything, if they would have to include a memory.
If you have these expensive memory sticks, it's still the expensive entry price, because
that's
still
what
have to get the damn memory card. Otherwise, Vita is basically useless.
I feel like it's a hurdle, but I don't feel like I think it's a bigger hurdle that the system itself is still $250. Now, if you said it's $250, it comes with a 4GB memory stick, and it comes with like Uncharted Golden Abyss for $250, then it's like, oh, you know what? There's a game, there's memory. It's kind of looking much better now.
Yeah, basically, like get the thing out with kind of built-in memory. Which is probably what they should have done in the first place.
I think Sony smelled that gesture, and I'm all for that. They saw that the 3DS was in an awkward position. The $250 price point meant they were on parity with Nintendo. And on a tech-by-tech level, the Vita outcasts the 3DS.
Yeah.
So at $250 a piece, going into, especially when at this time they were, I assume, thinking both of them would be out for the holidays, $250 for a Vita versus $250 for a 3DS at Christmas time, you'd go with the Vita because it's better tech.
Yeah.
I don't think they expected Nintendo to drop the price to $180 a month and a half later, and then kind of have the Vita miss out Christmas in the States and Europe.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
But I'm still holding. I think I will still hold my prediction that Sony will drop the Vita price, but not at E3. We'll do it at Gamescom.
If anything, I think they're going to try their best to push it to Tokyo Game Show, because at that point you kind of
isn't
have an idea.
Isn't that the same month?
Isn't Gamescom in August?
Right, August. Yeah, TGS is September, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because I think at that point they have an idea of what to expect for Christmas. So they can be like, you know what, we have a strong lineup this Christmas, we can survive it. Or, you know what, we're going to have to drop the price so that people are energized and ready to buy these games in October, November, December.
And I don't even think they would have to drop it too much. They don't have to go down to 3DS level.
No,
I think they would drop it by $50, basically.
Yeah, I think 200, again, because I think there's a mental barrier between seeing something at $249.99 and seeing something at $199.99.
Yeah.
So it's especially if Nintendo launches the Wii U at like $300, $350, $400, then the handhelds and the old consoles become much more pretty to folks.
Hmm.
So yeah, I think that's it. Now, unless you have any other final predictions to make,
it's kind of, if you think about it, because we don't know much about the third-party support, and we can't really predict it, it's kind of still a grim outlook.
Yeah, and I think, and that's why I think they've had to weather the storm until E3, because if we come out of this in a month, looking at the Vita in the same way, like, we don't know what third parties are going to do. We have no idea about Bioshock Vita. We don't have any details on Call of Duty Vita. It's not a really... I don't want to be super negative. I don't want to be hyperbolic, but it's not a really great situation for the Vita for the rest of the year. And then it's just going to spiral into that cycle where it's like, you're not doing well hardware wise, so nobody's going to bet software on you. So your hardware doesn't move because nobody's putting software. So then you have no software because you can't sell hardware, and no hardware because you can't get software.
And Sony alone is not going to change that.
No, as much as. And, you know, like you said, we mention this on the show all the time. Sony has tremendous first-party output. They just don't have system sellers. And they don't have that break glass in case of emergency. Like Nintendo, even with the launch of Mario Kart 7 and Super Mario 3DN, aren't setting the world on fire with the 3DS sales in the States and Europe. But they still have several franchises that they can use in case of emergency, like Animal Crossing, like a 2D Mario game, like Pokemon, like Brain Age. So they have that. Sony doesn't have one of those.
Yep.
Okay.
So basically our prediction is, let's hope Sony does the best and has lots of games, first and third party for the Vita.
Yes, and our prediction is it's either going to end with Quantic Dreams or Parappa the Rapper as their major title.
Yeah.
Okay, so for Jason, who had to step out earlier, Martin, Daniel, and myself, this has been Dual Wielding Episode 69.
See ya. Remember, drop the buck again, yes, forever. You have many challenges coming at ya. Back to the fire, don't retire now, pick. Nobody ever talks to me no more. I never baby what to come crying out.
dog do you think you could play and call the dog? Or if you're on a plane, how would you play? Stop the laughing down or away. I just wanna know, can you really go? Without guitar in hand, I don't know. Coming at ya, fly, hi. Sky, hi.
You are holding in your hand.
I don't know. What is it?